I have the best weekends. I was chatting to people in the building and retail trades and listening in horror to stories about delays, the spiraling costs of bringing in goods from anywhere to South Africa. Somebody was saying to me it's now four times more expensive to land anything in South Africa from China. It's got so bad that Reuters reporting today that the disruptions are accelerating a shift by South African retailers to end their heavy reliance on Asia and to move to source products locally. I wonder if this is the beginning of a new trend or simply a stopgap measure. Evan Walker is portfolio manager at 361 Asset Management on the line to us from Joburg this evening. It's kind of enforced localization when you don't have your regular suppliers in place. Evan, you do start having to think a little bit more smartly about where you get your stock from.
Yes, hi, good evening, Bruce, and good evening to everyone. No doubt, I mean, this bit of COVID that we've had for 18 months now has certainly, you know, caused big disruptions around the world. I mean, it's just been, the amount of consumption around the world has just been, you know, tenfold the numbers that people anticipated, you know, at the onset of the pandemic. And, you know, and this has driven a lot of changes in the mindset of the way companies have had to look at their procurement and specifically look at their procurement going forward. And then a couple of other big disruptions globally, I think, have entrenched this. And the big disruption globally at the moment is obviously power. We're not the only people sitting with a power problem. The whole world is sitting with power problems. And obviously the move to clean energy is exacerbating that. But certainly in the case of China, where a lot of procurement and South African retail procurement comes from, is also sitting with a huge power crisis at present. And that's also curtailing production, which is having some side effects for South African retailers.
I wonder then, I mean, all of the CEOs quoted, the Foschini Group CEO, the Edgar's chief executive, Woolies, also being quoted in this Reuters story. I wonder how many of them are really looking at long-term solutions from South Africa for South African retail, or once this thing passes and once global supply chains and global factories get back to producing stuff, whether they just revert to normal. Have we seen the beginning of a new era, perhaps?
Well, in the case of TFG, I mean, that's the name for obviously the Foschini Group. They've had a long-standing procurement in place in South Africa. They've done a very, very good job of building those local requirements out. I think they're at the forefront of that. Certainly their mix within their businesses allows them to do that. They obviously sell more upper-end product and then some sort of lower-tier product. But so certainly they've been at the forefront of this, and they've been growing it every year exponentially. And it's worked very well for them, and they've been able to create a lot of additional jobs in South Africa off the back of that, and I've really got to hand it to them. I think a lot of local retailers have actually seen how well TFG have done with that. So I think it's more structural now, Bruce, just given the forefront that they've been at TFG, just how well they've done with the procurement, just how well they've done internally in terms of their market share gains in South Africa. They have transformed the way they've done the South African business, but it's also translated into certainly higher market shares for the Foschini Group over a couple of number of years now. I'm talking 7, 8, potentially 10 years. This transformation has worked for them. And obviously being close to market, et cetera, they've obviously been able to develop and grow those market shares. So I think this is becoming more structural. I think obviously a weaker rand, and other issues around the globe, as we've mentioned, and a big one, obviously, being freight as well, up a couple of 100% over the last year, will certainly put more focus on the South African retailers to source domestically and grow this business locally, take a bit of pressure off them from the international side. So I think, for me now, it's more structural. We're looking at this and seeing a more structural element to this, and I think it's going to be very good for domestic business going forward. That we can start to get something going. And if more of the retailers can come into the pot, i.e. the big ones, the PEPs of the world, and start obviously bringing that industry back to where it was, you know, 15, 20 years ago when I started in this industry, we had big listed companies in the space manufacturing clothes. I mean, that's ideally what we'd like to see in the next couple of years.
I mean, is it feasible? I mean, do we have the capital? Do we have the skills? Do we have the talent that used to be around 20 years ago? It feels like an entire retraining of an economy that needs to happen in order to supply demand that, if you're right, could be very significant over the next couple of years.
Krishna, I mean, the size of this retail environment in South Africa, you know, we've covered the space. I mean, I've been speaking to you for the last 22 years now. We've covered the space. But you know, in terms of the numbers now, this country's, you know, it's tenfold the consumption numbers that we had, you know, back in those days. The size of the economy and the size of the Southern African economy is substantially bigger. So I think, you know, if we look back now, we certainly have the critical mass to support industries which we didn't really have in the past. And obviously China coming through and the advent of globalization and then, you know, the duty structures that we had in South Africa, which didn't really protect local manufacturing for long periods of time, you know, saw, you know, obviously the, you know, South African retailers moving offshore and procuring, you know, from the likes of China. But you've got to remember that small countries like Mauritius, for instance, have got sizable manufacturing operations in Mauritius. I mean, they're big global exporters on the apparel side. The likes of Turkey, again, you know, sizable global exporters. So it's not just China, you know. If you think back, you know, everyone just thinks we procure everything from China, but today that's moved out of China. A lot has gone to Vietnam and Bangladesh and other, you know, other countries where labor is cheap. But we still have very cheap labor in South Africa. And mechanization, in terms of global mechanization, is extremely easy to procure these days. So, you know, for me now, I think the barriers to entry are a lot lower. I think it's a lot easier. And I think certainly the big companies understand the shifts in fashion and the dynamics around it. And I certainly think, and TFG, as we rightly mentioned, have been there and showed that they can grow their business internally from the sourcing requirement, you know, every year exponentially.
And of course, this is what Grant Patterson was trying to do at the beginning of lockdown. He was chief executive at Edcon at the time. And of course, lots of local suppliers got burned really badly as a result of his inability to be able to, well, the Edcon inability to be able to pay its debts at that particular point in the cycle. They seem to have survived that particular crisis quite nicely. Do we ever get to a stage, perhaps, Evan, where we start becoming exporters of finished goods once again? In the textile sectors, the clothing sectors?
Yeah, Chris, I mean, it's obviously, you know, it's a very tough global competitive industry. You know, we haven't got a domestic international brand name per se that we could export from. But I mean, you know, a lot of, when we say we export today, I mean, a lot of international jeans are actually made out of Lesotho, funny enough. There's some branded names, you know, they're made out of Lesotho. There's still some big textile industries in Lesotho which export globally. So, you know, it's definitely doable. We've got some domestic shoe brands in South Africa that are exported globally. So it's definitely doable. You know, it's not a case of not being doable. And I think first stage is to obviously get this industry to a critical mass scenario. Hopefully we could potentially see a listing or a business environment which can gain capital. But at the same time, you know, our retailers are very flush with capital. They've got a sufficient cash. I mean, obviously, the Edcon Group and through Jet being acquired by TFG has all been recapitalized. So the industry is in way better shape than it's ever been before. And that does support the local industry from a procurement point of view. That we're not going to see the likes of the Edcon 4, which is obviously the biggest retailer, you know, prior to that. So, you know, I think there's an opportunity set here, but certainly once the scale is there, I think there's an opportunity to start exporting beyond South Africa.
Evan Walker, thank you. What a lovely perspective this evening. Portfolio Manager at 361 Asset Management.